The epistle reading in the, or the second reading for the seventh Sunday in ordinary time, is from the 15th chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, and it talks about, just as we have borne the image of one of dust, we will also bear the image of one of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Now, in recent years, we've heard a lot in the church, at least I've heard a lot in the church, I shield you from these things, about the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, rather. And it's been thought, and it's been promulgated, that the kingdom of God ought somehow to be introduced on earth by us. And that in some ways the purpose of the church is to bring about social change and social justice and all sorts of things of that sort, and that in the end all will be well because we have done our bit and made our impression upon society and upon the world and so on, and it will be a much better place because of it. Now, I think this is very problematic. I think it's very problematic because it's not clear what the Lord means when he talks about the kingdom of God. At least, it's not clear in terms of what the kingdom of God is going to be like here. In some ways, we could think of it in terms of, well, yes, everything's nice and peaceful and everything's going the way it should. And in some ways, that's the way it looks in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the intervention of God means that things are going to be all right. Well, they're certainly going to be all right for the children of Israel. And there'll be peace and concord and prosperity and riches and so on, and the king will reign in Jerusalem and his people will be secure and things of that kind. But that's the Old Testament. The New Testament seems to be very different altogether. There seems to be no promise of that kind of thing at all. No promise that the world is going to be a nice, quiet, wonderful place. For us, that's rather, I won't say it's rather confusing, but we're in a rather odd position living here as we do, because for us, the kingdom of God to a certain extent has arrived, by which I mean that living in Dunedin is a wonderful experience for most of us, by comparison with what other people have had to put up with in other places at other times, other civilizations and so on. The majority of people who have lived on the planet have not had the same kind of peaceful, prosperous, law-abiding, eco-friendly and all the rest of it life that we live. Some years ago, or 30 years ago, I sat in a church in Prague during the reign of Dr. Husák. And as I was looking around, I saw on the ceiling that they had painted, years ago, the arms of the last king and queen of Bohemia. Bohemia being what the Czech Republic was called until 1918. And the last king and queen of Bohemia were also the emperor and empress of Austria and the king and queen of Hungary and all the rest of it. And one of those people was still alive, the Empress Sita, who died only within the last 10 years or so. And as I looked at her coat of arms painted on the ceiling, I reflected on the fact that the people who worshipped in this church had, in her lifetime, gone through two terrible world wars, had had the terrible depression of the 1920s or 30s, whatever it was. They had gone through an appalling German occupation, and then they were just enjoying something like 30 years or more of communist tyranny, all in the space of one person's lifetime, which made me realize that my life in many ways had been very easy and very simple by comparison with theirs. And I also realized, because I know a little bit about history, not a lot but a little bit, that what they had had to endure, most people on the planet had had to endure in the course of human history. Our life here is very, very odd and very unusual. And indeed, the hopelessness of life in Western Europe, which, with its idea of progress and getting on and peace and freedom and so on, this is very uncharacteristic of human history. And perhaps it's because of this idea of progress and so on that we are inclined to think that heaven can be made on earth. that the kingdom of God will come on earth. But it seems to me that in some ways this is not only just a fantasy, but it's actually a rather irreligious fantasy. It dresses itself up as being in accordance with the Christian religion, and it's promoted by people within the Christian religion as being in accordance with it. But it seems to me, I'm afraid, that our friends Dr. Spong and Gearing and so on have got into the woodwork again, because what in some ways it is saying is, let's not bother about life beyond the grave. Let's not place our hopes in another world. Let's get on with doing things here. But the fact of the matter is that whatever we do here doesn't have much effect. Not really. The world goes on as it always has gone on. There is still evil and wickedness and tyranny, and the last century surely must prove that effect to us altogether. So, there are a number of things that we need to, I think, bear in mind about it. Firstly, we don't need to feel all that guilty. All too often, when I go to ecclesiastical get-togethers and conferences and things of that kind, synods and so on, I'm made to feel guilty, even guiltier than usual, because I'm supposed to be somehow out there changing the unjust structures of society and so on. Well, no, I don't think that's true at all. I don't expect to be able to change society. So I can, as it were, take a rest from that. I don't need to feel terribly guilty about it. I can acknowledge that the world is the way the world is. But on the other hand, I can see from the readings that will be read later on at 10:30, and which are part of this group of readings for this Sunday, I can see that the Lord God expects me to make the kingdom present where I am. By which I mean that I am to act as though the kingdom is present. I am to make the principles and the blessings and so on of the kingdom present through such things as kindness, goodness, truthfulness, generosity and so on. And where those things are present, there the kingdom of God is present. In fact, the Eastern Church says the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. And by that they mean that where the Holy Spirit is present, where God is present, where the qualities that come from God are present, there the kingdom is present. So where the goodness of the Lord is present, his kindness, his justice, his peace and so on, there the kingdom is present. And so it means on the one hand that I can relax a bit about the state of the world, because in some ways this is rather self-indulgent. I can go on about the state of the world and how things ought to change and so on, but nothing really happens, and I don't have to do anything about it much. I can march down the street and wave a flag and feel awfully good about it, but then I can go home to my nice home and not much happens. But on the other hand, I can be aware of the fact that God appreciates enormously the fact that in my own way, however small, I can do something to make the characteristics and the qualities of the kingdom present in the world. Now this is Christian morality. It is not the case that we are going around sternly judging others and being condemnatory and things of that kind. It just means that where we are to bring as much as we can love, joy, peace and all the rest of it to those around us. And this, small though it is what we're actually required to do. It's easy to love humanity, as somebody once said. It's rather difficult just to love people. And so we should appreciate the fact that we're not being asked to change the world, but we are being asked to change our own world, or rather to behave within our own world as though we ourselves had been changed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.